Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you again this morning and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and the blessings it is that we have, Father, to meet together and to worship you. Lord, we thank you again for all that you do for us. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us be faithful. Lord, again, I ask that you would give us wisdom and open our hearts and minds, fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I think we'll open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Appreciated the boys this morning. Just a real blessing to see the thankfulness and the appreciation that they have for their parents and the church. It's just a real blessing to see that. Often we overlook or we don't remember what got us to where we are. And it's people celebrate the holidays and they celebrate things that are happening. You know, they're celebrating the 4th of July right now of independence. And every country I've ever been in, didn't matter how communist it was, celebrate an Independence Day. And people are patriotically supporting their independence. And like I said, I've been in communist countries that celebrate their independence. And it's, you just look around and you think, well, why would someone even want to be celebrating something like this? But they do, and they've just learned to be grateful or be patriotic to support something without even having a clue of what it really amounts to, or where it came from, or what it's all about. And it's just one of the things I just want you to think about as you celebrate. I mean, we could be celebrating the blessings of the church, but it just doesn't happen because we celebrate it and we're thankful for it. There's work to be done still to maintain these things. America celebrates their Independence Day or their freedom. And they're living in a way that the people who actually fought for this freedom so many years ago would be fighting the very people celebrating the freedoms. Just like Jesus talked about that the men who had made statues would celebrate the prophets, and yet they were killing the prophet that was right in front of them. And it just seems to be the way it is. So it's good not just to look at what the real heart of the thing is what I'm trying to say. The look at the fruit and look at the work that's before you to maintain these things. Freedom is not something that's easy, and it's not something that you just keep because you have it. It's something that must be maintained, not just in a political thing, but in a religious or a spiritual thing. Christ died to set us free, and that doesn't come just because we were born into it. There's work for you to do. There's things for you to do to maintain that. You might not have to fight the same battles that some of us have had to go through to gain that. but there's something that there is for you to do. There's a battle for you as well. And it may be a whole different battle than what you might have heard talk about. Usually the things we know about, whenever the real battle hits us, it's completely different from where the real battle was. You each have your own battles, your own struggles. And they're different than the ones your parents had before you. I just want to encourage you to be faithful. I mean, the things that you've been given didn't come cheap. There's a lot of things that have been given to you that people suffered for. And you people, you children, you young people, some of your parents have gone through a lot, been rejected by their own parents just for trying to do what they thought was right. And so just remember that and be thankful for it. There's a lot of blessings, but what comes with a blessing, there's a responsibility. All these things have a responsibility. That's what this Romans chapter 12 talks about, a dedicated service. So therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. This is what God requires of you. You know, I don't know what we might imagine when we think about serving God, but what He wants is for you to present your body a living sacrifice. And He wants you to be happy and thankful and grateful about it. And not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. The things that you've been given, the blessings, are gifts. And your battle is going to be different, like I said before. Thing about it is, your battle is going to be in your heart and in your mind. Whenever you're young, a lot of times you think that life's just passing you by and you're missing out if you don't go along with some of the things that are going on. And so you feel like you need to get involved in those things. Present your body a living sacrifice. Trust in the Lord. You don't have to make a hurried decision to jump into things. Used to be a little song that said, sin will take you further than you want to go, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you far more than you want to pay. See, there's things and decisions in your lives that you're making, choices that you make that will send you down a road that you never dreamed you would go down. And there's choices that you'll make that will set your feet on a path that'll be a blessing to you for the rest of your life. They'll be a blessing to you, to your children and their children, if you take that path. Young people making decisions, like I said, that there's paths that you can choose that's going to send you down a road that you wished you would have never gone down. And the thing about it, you know, you think you can experiment with things. You think you can just experiment. Well, I'll just try a little bit. I'll just do this, or I'll just do that. Or I think I can get away with this. And The problem is when you open a door, guess who's on the other side of that door? Satan's on the other side of that door. And once you open that door, you can never close it. It'll never close on its own. By God's grace and by His mercy, and by God's power, sometimes you can get back out of that door and shut it. But it's not likely. The majority never get out of those doors. That's why in the Old Testament, you know, they had things that they stoned people for. Here's a picture of the gospel. In the Old Testament, they stoned people. And the reason they stoned them is because they had opened doors that there was no closing. There was no closing. And so in order to preserve the seed of Israel, those things had to be completely taken out. Today, people have... we have an answer. Jesus is the answer. He can save us and set us free and close those doors. But the price that's been paid for you all has given you a path and a road where those doors, a lot of them, you don't even have to deal with. You wouldn't even have to worry about it because your parents have shielded you from them and protected you from them. But there's still temptations, and there's still opportunities, there's still things out there that we just have to look at, have to try. And that opens those doors. The path that will lead you on the better path, the one that will be a blessing, is one that may struggle with those doors, but they walk past them. They may miss out on some of the excitement, some of the fun, some of the glamour, some of the whatever Satan might paint that door to be, to look like. But if you go past them, the fruit of going past them will be at your door before you can turn around. The fruit of leaving those doors closed will be at your feet before you can turn around. And likewise, the results of opening those doors, the calamity, the pain, the hurt, the suffering, it'll be right in your life before you even have time to wonder. Before you have time to think about it, it'll be right there. It seems like the decisions you make are just, oh, they're going to be so far away. Some people want to get married, and they look at themselves and they get a little older and they think, oh, I've just got to get married. I've just got to get married. And they jump out and get married instead of just being patient, just being waiting. We want to look to the world. We want to look to something more exciting. We want to look for different things, but just bide your time. God has someone for you if He wants you to be married. He has someone for you. There'll be 1,000 doors begging you to run through. You don't have to go searching all over the world to find who God wants you to have. He'll put someone there. In His time, be patient. If you go chasing after the world and looking everywhere, looking around, looking to see what this one and that one, you're opening doors. You're opening doors that'll likely cause a lot of pain later. Be patient. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. This will help you avoid a lot of the pain and suffering a lot of the cost that your parents have made and others here have made for you. Just be patient. God will open a door. God will provide a way. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. One thing I would encourage you to do is look at fruit. You know, a lot of times we see circumstances or situations, but observe the fruit. Observe where that fruit come from. You know, when you plant a piece of corn and you tend it and water it, you get corn. When you plant a weed, you don't have to tend and water it. It just grows. But that's what you grow. Look at things around you. Look at the people. Look at the things that the older brethren have been through. Learn from their examples. You know, you all have the opportunity, you have the foundation to go much further, to be so much better than some of us. That it's right there. You have the foundation to build on. You know, we talk about forgiveness. You know, and it's a blessing. I just remember knowing and being set free from some of the things that I was involved in that I didn't have much guidance about. And I remember being set free from them. And it's such a blessing to know that forgiveness and that peace and that rest that comes with that. But there's scars that come with that as well. There's scars that follow those things. The doors may be closed. And there may have been forgiveness for some of those doors that we've gone through. But there's still a scar there that we'll bear and carry the rest of our lives. There's still pain there that shouldn't be. And the thing about it is you don't have to know any of that. You can know that blessings and the freedom, and you can build on that and pass that on. But we do need to remember it. Anyway, so that's the real opportunities that you have and the blessings. And I appreciate your appreciation for it. It's a real good thing. Just encourage you to follow on with that. Just as we have many members in one body and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We all have our place. There's people that are pioneers and there's people who are recipients of the blessings that paved the way. We all have different functions. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. Not everything's going to look the same. We all have a different place. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. if service in his servant, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace of us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to his proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. See, we each have a different place. And I think about this sometimes, that with each gift, we think of gifts, and each person who has a gift, we look at them and we think, oh, what a blessing. Sometimes. But oftentimes we see there's a little saying that it's a blessing. Used to be a guy that could be able to do things, and people would admire him for what he did, but then he would just say, well, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing and a curse. And it sounds kind of funny, but in reality, it's real. You know, someone who has the gift of prophecy, we see the prophets in the Old Testament. And a prophet wasn't exalted as a hero, never has been. We look back at them and we can set them up on a pedestal. And that's what Jesus was talking about. You build monuments to the prophets. But you kill the ones that are among you. Because that's what happens. We look at spiritual gifts, and the person that has this gift, we just think they were lifted up and admired. But the one that actually has it tastes the curse of that gift, if you will. He doesn't feel a real gift. You don't feel like, oh boy, I'm blessed, I got this gift. Because most of the time the gift you have seems more like a curse to you than a real gift. Just like he was talking about it, he that prophets according, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. The prophet was not looked upon as a prophet. Likewise, it says in service, in his serving. You know, we have people that just serve and help. One place it talks about helps. And there's people that just help, and it's a gift. There's people who can coordinate things, and that's a gift. But you know, a lot of times the helper, when they're trying to help, the tendency is for a lot of people to think, well, they're just a busybody. Just always sticking their nose where they don't belong. They're just always offering their help. And oftentimes that looks like a real pain in the neck to some people. You know, it's great to have them help whenever we need help. But whenever they're just not welcomed, turns the other way. It is a gift to be a helper. But there is a downside to it all too. Remember those people with gifts, that sometimes their gift almost becomes a curse to them and to themselves. If you have a gift of something like that, remember. You have the gift of being a helper, sometimes there's going to be a lot of demand on you. So you being able to do a lot of things is going to seem like a curse to you. Think of the verse, don't be weary in well doing. don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we get tired. People wanting this or wanting that. It just gets weary. That's part of your gift. Take it graciously. In service, in His serving. That's what we were talking about. And in teaching, in His teaching. You know, sometimes you teach people. And they don't listen, and they don't listen, and they don't listen. And you just want to get to the place where, what am I even doing teaching anybody? Nobody cares. Nobody listens. It gets weary. See, all these gifts, they have another side to them. The one that's called work. The thing about it is I've noticed with people that in service, people in helping, I just noticed a lot of times that the hard worker, he has a tendency to be the complainer as well. This is a gift that you've been given. Treat it as a gift. Don't look upon it as a curse. Oftentimes, I've seen this a lot through my life, that about the guy that works, he's the one that's belly aching about all the time. Learn from that. You don't have to do that. You can take your gift and make it a blessing on both ends, even though it's hard. Or he who exhorts on his exhortation. You know, there again, you can preach and so few people will listen to you. And it's just a blessing to find someone who does. You get to the place where you don't even want to say anything anymore, because every time you do, you just get pinched. I talk about being a middleman. Sometimes there's people that see a problem, so they try to help and try to get things coordinated. Whenever you get in the middle of something, there's more potential for you to get pinched than there is for everything to work out the way it's supposed to. You know, used to hear the story about it's the middleman that gets rich. And there's a few of those. But every time I tried to be a middleman, I got pinched. It just doesn't work out too well sometimes, but that's part of making the whole thing work together. He who gives with liberality. You know, there's people that give. We've got people that give. And the thing about it is, the tendency whenever we do something, just like the worker, just like anybody else, just like any other gift, well, I give, and then they start looking around and say, well, they don't give very much. I'm the only one that ever gives. I'm the only one that gives. I just give, and every time there's a need, somebody mentions it to me, expects me to give. Give it with liberality. Don't let your gift become a curse. It doesn't matter whether anybody else does or not. Do your part. It doesn't matter whether you get noticed or not. That's not the qualification here for your gift. That's not the responsibility of your gift. Your gift is to fulfill your gift, regardless of the consequences. You know, we talk about the cross sometimes. And here's a way your cross. The cross is not something that you have to do. The cross comes from your doing what you are given to do. Jesus' cross was given to him because he loved mankind and wanted to redeem mankind. The cross is the result of him just fulfilling what God gave him to do. So whatever your gift is, the cross is people looking at you cross-eyed. Or people not being a helper to you, not helping you, not supporting you. Just like the prophet that was rejected. All these other gifts, it's the same way. The world does not recognize God's gifts. They despise them and hate them. And he who shows mercy, or he who leads with diligence. He who leads with diligence. No, there again, the leader. One takes the arrows a lot of times. One out front. It's like the bug shield on your car. The leader. Eats a lot of bugs along the way. But you do it with diligence. You just keep on doing it. You don't do it because you're recognized for anything. You do it because you're the bug shield. That's what a leader is. So next time you think you want to be a leader, think of the bug shield. And hope there isn't any deer out there and runs in front of you. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. See, the way you take care of all these negatives is to face it with someone who gives mercy, someone who's been taken advantage of. How do you give mercy? With cheerfulness. There's a way to overcome all of these things. There's a way to overcome the curse of your gift. Find the way to overcome these things instead of being burdened down by them. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. And that's right here. That's what he means, but we hear that verse oftentimes when we think, well, we've got to stay away from those bad things and just cling to what's good. No, he's talking about right here about these gifts. There's good in them. There's good in them. Cling to that good that's in those gifts that you have. And abhor the evil side of those gifts. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. There's your responsibility. There's your duty. There's your battle. Study on those last few verses. That's the mantra, that's the mantle, that's the flag that you need to uphold and carry. May the Lord add his blessing.
Our assignment for this week was to bring something that we learned from another brother this float trip. And something that I really appreciate is that Chris, every float trip, makes sure to stress that we leave every campground or gravel bar better than it was when we got there.
I was thinking about when the guys were saying how many years we've been doing these float trips, and it made me think I was a blessing to be a part of a church that sticks together, and if we have challenges or mess up, there's always somebody there to help out and stick it out with you.
There were a couple things that Brother Kevin said that I thought were a blessing. One thing he said when we were singing a few nights ago, he said he thought about how much we have here and how we should never forget that or take it for granted. And I thought about that, how we have a church here who everyone cares for us, and when we're on the float, we can have people. You might not be the best one at whatever. You have chances to not take yourself so seriously, and just it's a really good time to just get to know each other better. And we're really thankful for all that's been given to us, and our parents that have taught us to do what's right, and just the heritage they've passed down that we hope to pass down to our children in the future. And another thing he said was that the camping trip is like a ministry, and it's just like that. It's a ministry for us when we're there. It's just a chance for us to be a friend to each other and get to know each other better. And yeah,
I think it's real important for us young men to take time to work with the older brothers and learn from them. I think one of the main things I learn every time I work around with the older brothers is just learn how to act more maturely and not make foolish decisions and just grow up.
When we were waiting on the bus, one of the brothers was talking about a man he knew that had kind of a rough upbringing, and we look at the man today, and you can't go by just what you see now and judge him, because he had a kind of a rough upbringing, and so it just makes you real thankful for what we have here. So I thought it was a blessing.
Some of the brothers were talking about how beautiful it is, the river and stuff. I was thinking about how God gave us all these things. There's so much He has to do, but just us, He gave so much to us. And so we need to stop and think more about what God did for us.
Chris is always a really good example to us. He wants us to always clean up any garbage or anything that anyone else left behind, and just keep the campground better than we left it.
One of the days when we were floating, there's a tree and the branch was bended, and Chris said back in the old days, the Indians used to bend the tree branches to show that there's water.
I guess it was the second day. There was a bunch of us boys floating down the river together. We was kind of sitting all in like one spot, and there was a guy on the bank, and he looked at us all, and he said, "Now that's a brotherhood." And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, he is right. Everybody that is there is, they're there through thick and thin. No matter what we go through, they're always there, and it's just a brotherhood.
One of the things I found interesting on the float trip is, I think there's always a time to be serious, and there's always a time to have fun, and I noticed a lot of the older brothers there toward the end having a little bit of fun in the water, and it's just nice to be able to see that we don't always have to be serious, but there's a time and a place to have fun. And then yesterday I spent the day at the Roar's place, and the thing I learned from Marcus is dad always taught this to his boys, but when there's work to be done, you know, there's things that need to be done, it's always good just to take initiative and do it without having to be told.
Morning, everybody. I'd like to read in Matthew this morning. Matthew 7. "Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and for your standard of measure it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye when you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how you can say your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, you have a log in your own eye. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I think about this a lot. Just careful not to judge. Uncle David preached a couple of weeks ago. On Judgment Day, we're going to get showed mercy and get judged the same way we get judged and we have mercy on people. He's only going to give us as much mercy and stuff that we gave to people while we're on this earth. And that kind of, I think about this a lot. Sometimes I can get carried away or whatever. But I just remember that the way I judge on earth is the way God's going to judge me on Judgment Day. And I just lost my train of thought. And he said, it helps me a lot. I think about this a lot. Just kind of, Cale said last Sunday about that story that guy saw it, guy that wasn't dressed right, wasn't dressed real nice for church or something, and he was there, he was on drugs and stuff, and he just was there to get clean up his life, and just can't judge a book by its cover, you know. That's kind of all I had this morning. So thank you guys.